It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, it's a great pleasure to bring one of our good friends to the microphone at this time, John Glennon of the newly founded Broadway Sports. Johnny, what's going on, my friend?
Too much, young Robbie. Good to hear your voice again. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it. And by the way, congrats on the new gig. You have two very big fans here in the studio with Joe Rexroad and myself. We're very happy for you with your new venture at Broadway Sports.
I appreciate that, guys. And it's a great new website, Broadway Sports. There, I would strongly urge all Nashville sports fans to take a look. Great coverage of the Titans and Preds and Nashville SC as well.
So, John, I got the sense the other day that Mike Vrabel may be tired of discussing Jadeveon Clowney. What was your sense there?
Do you think so?
By the way, congrats to you for just powering through that look that he got. You're just an absolute champion, just keeping going.
You're even more my hero, John.
Yeah. You could clearly see the old body language on Mike Vrabel at that point. You know, it was his second Jadeveon Clowney question of the Zoom conference, and it's a topic that he clearly does not want to address a lot. But, you know, on the other hand, I think he has to be prepared for this because, unfortunately, it's an ongoing situation, and that there's been no resolution for Clowney. We know the Titans are one of the few teams that are in the hunt. They have the money for Jadeveon Clowney. Mike Vrabel has a great background of success with Jadeveon Clowney, so there's just so many things that make sense about him coming here that I think a lot of people want to connect the dots, put two and two together, and get him signed up. And Mike Vrabel is. I'm sure he would love it if it happens, but same point, he's getting a little exhausted talking about it before it does happen.
Is this the first time you've ever created a GIF? I mean, you created a GIF. We will be using that head lowering so many times in the future. Like in years to come, you have created something, John.
It was outstanding. You don't expect necessarily on a Zoom call. I think back in a regular season, when you deal with the coach and others on an in-person basis, you expect to see the occasional body language. Don't necessarily expect to see that on Zoom, but he dropped that head pretty clearly about 5 seconds, I'm sure while the head was down, there were some eye rolls going on there too. So yes, I feel good about that.
John, it's not the first time that the players haven't reported to training camp, but this Vic Beasley situation is very strange in the fact that nobody with the Titans seems to be able to get in contact with him. What do you make of this situation going on with Vic Beasley?
Yeah, it's a weird situation in that neither side is really talking much about it. From the Titans standpoint, this is clearly a guy in a position that they need. You know, that was arguably their biggest position of need going into the offseason. Differing scouting reports on Vic Beasley, certainly a ton of potential, hasn't always lived up to it. But certainly, you know, the Titans need him and they need him to be a productive player, you know, and we're kind of left to speculate at this point. And you try and figure out what could be keeping him away. And the one thing that keeps popping up, we don't know if this is true or not, but, you know, is he considering opting out this season as a number of players have? And if he does, then you start getting into other issues as well. Well, how much money returns to the Titans in that case? What can they do with it? Does that make them more likely to be able to get a guy like Jadeveon Clowney because they'll have a bit more money? Or does Clowney realize that the team is now kind of desperate to get him and can raise his market value? So it's really a situation that has potentially a lot of ramifications for the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're Beasley, and like you said, I mean, at some point it's sort of like We're sitting here guessing. But if you're Beasley and you're losing $50K a day, you know, I mean, to me, then opt out if that's what it is, right? I mean, that's what's the bizarre thing is the apparent lack of contact. But on Clowney, John, you know, it's almost like this is exactly what Clowney's been waiting for, right? I mean, whatever his number is now, clearly no one in the league likes it. But if you're Clowney, it's like something will happen. Something will happen somewhere where all of a sudden a team that might have wanted me now needs me, right? So this could end up serving, you know, him better and end up with the closer to the number that he has been seeking.
I think you nailed it on the head right there. You know, the whole issue with Jadeveon Clowney during the offseason was that, you know, as best we can tell, he set his value, his price tag way too high. No team, you know, was reportedly really very close to paying Jadeveon Clowney what he wanted. And instead of saying, all right, well, I'll take this, Jadeveon Clowney kind of chose a different strategy and sort of said, well, I'll wait this out. You know, maybe come training camp, maybe there's an injury to a key edge rusher, or maybe somebody doesn't show up, and boom, you know, what are we seeing here? Vic Beasley doesn't show up, and all of a sudden, a team is kind of desperate to fill that need, and whenever you're desperate, when you don't have a lot of leverage, that's when a player's value can certainly go up, and you know, if you're the Titans, and again, maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves on Vic Beasley not being here. We just don't know at this point. But if you're the Titans and you're thinking of going into the season with kind of Harold Landry and Kamala Correa and Reggie Gilbert, you know, as your top three, you know, I don't think that's enough, clearly. I think the Titans would need to do something. And, you know, what better solution than Jadeveon Clowney, even if he sets his price a little higher than you originally wanted to pay?
John Glennon from Broadway Sports on the line with us. And, John, it also came out the other day that Jayon Brown and Corey Davis on the PUP list as training camp begins. We all know how big of a year this could be for Corey Davis. How concerned are you that he's once again having these problems in terms of his health to start training camp?
Yeah, it's not good. You know, it's been a while, and again, we're sort of left to speculate in terms of the injury. Because, of course, they only announced that he was going on PUP and didn't tell us exactly what it was. You know, we can take a stab. You know, we know through a teammate, actually, through one of Taylor Lewan's Bussin' with the Boys episodes, he mentioned last that Corey Davis was fighting through turf toe all of last year. So naturally, you wonder if that's the situation. But, yeah, we've seen these kind of nagging situations for Corey Davis a little too much, whether it's hamstring, whether it's the toe, whether it's something else, and you know, maybe that's part of the reason that he hasn't really you know, lived up to the potential of a number five overall pick in the draft. And yeah, this is a contract year, as you said, and you know, even if he's not coming back to the Titans, this is a year that Corey Davis has to be good to earn his money somewhere next year. So I think, you know, the only silver lining to this awful off season, you know, this awful pandemic season, if you will, is that players aren't missing as much if they're out at the start of camp. You know, there's such a ramp up before we actually start to practice. You know, if a player takes a week or two, maybe he's only missing out on a little bit of conditioning before he comes back, and certainly you don't have to worry about not being available for preseason games because, as we know, there are no preseason games.
Yeah, so like for Isaiah Wilson, who starts out on the COVID reserve list, I mean, he should be, if everything goes as hoped for him, ready to go when anything remotely close to football starts. But John, you mentioned on Davis, on Jayon Brown, and of course last we saw Jayon Brown, he was hurting. He was trying to go in Kansas City after missing the Baltimore game. I already thought receiver was a position group ripe for a veteran signing. Inside linebacker, Wesley Woodyard's gone. I think we assumed that that's, you know, going to stay the case. So you look at that, some depth issues. And then, of course, quarterback could John Robinson go out and find a veteran? Of those three position groups, which would you say is most likely to have a new and recognizable name at some point in camp?
Of those three, you know, to me, my natural instinct is to say quarterback, because it just it kind of blows your mind a little bit thinking about a team going into the season, you know, with a guy who's not taken a single game snap in Logan Woodside. But you know, the more I hear from the Titans, the more I feel like they're really set on Logan Woodside, and unless a high quality veteran that fits their system, is cut loose, you know, I start feeling more and more like they're going to lean his way. So, you know, I think maybe you look at inside linebacker. You know, they've obviously got Jayon Brown, they've got Rashawn Evans, and they've got kind of a promising guy in David Long coming to the forefront, maybe. But you like to have that guy who's kind of a veteran presence in the room, a mentor. You know, which Wesley Woodyard really fit. And as you know, we've talked about before, it does look like they've moved on past Wesley Woodyard. But I think you need a little bit more experience in that room, a wiser old head, and you know, maybe a fourth rotational player. As you look at it now, the names are, you know, Nick Zubner was signed, but he's mainly a special teams guy. And then you're looking at a couple of undrafted free agents as well. So that to me, maybe that gets addressed of those three positions, maybe inside a linebacker.
By the way, I'm counting on you on a Zoom call. We're getting Ryan Tannehill and Logan Woodside today. So I'm counting on you to make Logan Woodside shake his head in disgust or some other reaction with a question today. So
I think
that's your charge.
The natural question there for Logan would be, you know, for the 100th time, how will he overcome his lack of experience to become the number two quarterback? So if I could become the fifth person on the Zoom call to ask that, maybe we'll get a little eye roll from Logan Woodside today.
All right, John, last thing for you real quick. Preds play against the Stars today, start up the real thing on Sunday against Arizona. What do you make of the Preds' chances in this tournament they're about to embark on this weekend?
You know, I think it's a great opportunity for the Preds that you know, teams that kind of struggle during the regular season don't normally get a reset and kind of a mini training camp under their new coach. So I think it's a great opportunity for them to kind of turn things around in the postseason. You know, I think there was still a lot of work to be done when we last saw the Preds, but you know, if they can get some special teams help, if they can get a hot goalie who I think should be UC Saros as the starter. You know, I think again, this is the kind of chance that they have to take advantage of. And as I wrote today on Broadway Sports, you know, I think it's a great chance for them to show an identity under John Hines that they really didn't have a chance to form, even in the 2 months that John Hines was there. You know, give us something that we can count on for the Predators. How are you going to play from period to period, from game to game? What's the scheme? I'm looking forward to seeing what the Predators put on the ice.
John Glennon from Broadway Sports has been our guest here on Morning Drive. John, thanks so much for joining us, my friend, as always. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
See you on Zoom.
That's right. When we come back, we will discuss a little bit more of what John had to say there. That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. RockNashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiatives, CDC updates, ways to help the Middle Tennessee community, and more. That's RockNashville.com. Check it out today. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad. Munson bringing us back with a little bit of Return to the Mac. It's good stuff, Munson. It's almost like I gave you that idea.
I mean, that's your song choice.
Is that the first song choice that I've had that you approve of?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Even Travis Tritt?
Nah, Travis Tritt was okay. I do like some Travis Tritt. Okay. Now, Toby Keith, on the other hand, right. you can keep that for yourself,
okay.
My friend.
That's fine. Look, that's 2 out of 3. That's still not bad.
Yeah.
I can't distinguish between Toby Keith and Travis Tritt. Is that crazy?
Yes, that's very crazy.
Yeah, I need some work on that.
You live in Nashville.
I know, man.
You got to learn these things, Joe. Come on.
I like the Oak Ridge Boys.
Have we played your song yet today, or is that coming up?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Not yet.
Look, I'm not rushing you. I'm just asking.
Slow build.
We've got some show. We've got some show yet.
We still got some show left.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Everybody will be accounted for by the end of the show. Just put it that way.
All right.
And more AC/DC deep cuts. We haven't talked about Toto today, though. So
he's already done his AC/DC for today. You gotta keep up.
I know. Yeah. But that was another one that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's like going to be a challenge now. Like, do you know this AC/DC song or not, Joe?
Yeah. And this was a newer one you played. Is that right?
Off the album Black Eyes.
Never that is. Didn't know that album existed.
They got
again,
a lot of albums.
It's like a lot of music. Like, you know, music, rock peaked in the 70s, hip-hop, 92. I'd say AC/DC in 78 with the Highway to Hell album.
Yeah.
So, you know, Bon Scott, rest in peace. I like Brian Johnson, but Black Ice album.
Okay. It came out in 2008.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty new for AC/DC.
Yeah, it's pretty new. Yeah.
I mean, it's let's see. Rock and Roll Train is on there. Have you ever heard that song before?
I don't know.
No, you haven't.
It's after 98.
I don't even know why I asked that question. It's their 15th album.
I don't
like this
newfangled music.
Being able to get your voice up that high, though, for that long, it's impressive.
Yeah.
I would lose my voice after like 3 minutes of a concert.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think AC/DC has someone else singing when they tour, right?
Or I think so, yeah.
It wasn't Brian Johnson.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Brian Johnson's alive, right?
I think. It's 2020. Who knows?
I got to Google this now. Well, I will say that. I will say
that. Did Joe kill Brian Johnson?
I will say that last week, when I was filling in on Jared and the GM, and yes, it appears he's alive, so
that's good. Yeah. Let's keep it that way.
Stillman
asked me, is Regis Philbin alive? I believe it was on Friday.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think so. And we Googled it and all that stuff, and then he passed away the next day. So.
Yeah. God, that's not a very good omen.
It's a
for
terrible
Joe,
year.
Looking up stuff over here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't even have mentioned that. let's just say it's a terrible year.
Yes, it is.
Very terrible year.
Not good. Joe, we had John Glennon on last segment. Much appreciated to John Glennon. Always fun to have him on. And the backup quarterback conversation for the Titans is very interesting to me because we've been talking about it since last March. Logan Woodside apparently is the guy right now for the Titans to be the backup quarterback to Ryan Tannehill. How likely do you think it is that they bring in some veteran help at some point through training camp here, assuming everybody remains healthy?
I've always kind of thought that would be the case, but I'm getting the feeling that it's roll with Woodside and you'll see what Cole McDonald can do. Obviously, a developmental pick there at quarterback. An exciting guy in terms of his athleticism and I think his ability, Cole McDonald. And Logan Woodside is a guy who definitely has improved a ton. I know that last preseason it was clear to anyone who'd watched in the year before, okay, wow, looks like a different guy.
Yeah.
And so that's naked eye media people standing on the sideline. I think internally it's pretty obvious that they really like how he has come on. You know, I mean, Logan Woodside is one of the first two players made available in Titans preseason camp. So maybe that tells you something too. I mean, like if they were about to pull the rug out and go bring in Bortles on him, would they? You know, you don't want to read too much into decisions.
Maybe they're
like
just trying to throw you off, man.
Maybe. That could be. That could be. But, yeah, right now, I had to do the 53-man roster the other day for the start of camp, and that one was a tough one. I honestly was close. I had my finger on the shift button and the other one on the B for the Blake Bortles, which is just would just be so much fun if he were a Tennessee Titan.
Yes, it
but
would.
I stuck with that depth chart. I think that's what they're going to do.
Can you imagine if you told a Titans fan in, like, 2017 that in 2020 their quarterback was going to be Ryan Tannehill and the backup would be Blake Bortles?
What do you think
the reaction would be?
Yeah.
And that they would be really good? Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And that Marcus Mariota would be a Raider.
Yeah. As a backup to Derek Carr.
It changes fast in this league.
It does,
man. That position is – but, Bortles. See, the problem with Bortles coming here is – with Jarrell Casey gone, it'd be about half as fun. Jarrell Casey and Blake Bortles on the same team would be amazing.
I mean, week one, though. Now, hopefully Bortles, if you're a Titans fan, is not playing week one against the Broncos. But
They did make a quarterback switch last time they went to Denver.
That's true. Yes, they did. It turned out to be a significant switch that time around. Last time
we ever saw it. Well, that's not true.
Last time he started.
Yeah, he got on the field a few more times. Yeah.
Do you think we see any extravagant Mariota packages with the Raiders? Almost at Oakland, but they're not there anymore.
It's not going to be a package. It's going to be a job.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think he's going to win it?
Raiders fan says Mariota's going to be the QB. Really? At what point will that happen?
I'm going to guess week 5 or 6. Probably week 6.
Interesting. I don't know if I buy that halfway point. Okay.
Which, I mean, look, they're invested in Derek Carr money-wise, and I understand that, but, like, it's just he's not getting the job done.
And if you
can't do it with Henry Ruggs and, you know, Tyrell Williams, like, come on, man. Like, what are you doing here? So
I think he's better than Mariota. And I'd love to. It would be great to see Mariota. I think he's have better. Look, but I think Derek Carr.
I think he's better than Mariota. But I just think sometimes the writing is on the wall of a guy that just won't work out. And it's the same thing. And I know Eli Manning's a little different situation, but they kind of knew that. Look, Eli's time here as a starting quarterback, it's kind of ending. So let's go ahead and focus on what we're going to do next. So I think that's what the Raiders are doing. Like, look, Derek Carr's had this opportunity for 4 or 5 seasons now. Let's see if we can put somebody else in here and get some kind of momentum.
I think Gruden loves Mariota. I really think he does.
And him and Mayock love Mariota. Like, they love. That's the reason why he's there. That's the reason why they didn't draft a quarterback, because they easily could have drafted one instead of, you know, getting him, but they got him for a reason. So I think he's going to end up starting.
That's going to be really
interesting. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be. I'm dubious of that, but yeah, like, if they're not winning, even if Carr is not necessarily playing poorly, sometimes just a switch like that, you're right, it's sort of like, I mean, like Tannehill. Tannehill actually had some really good numbers in Miami, was having a great 2016 before all the injuries hit. And it was just sort of like in 2018, okay, it's just time to move on. And so I get it from that perspective. If they're not winning, maybe just to give the fan base something new to look at and check it out and see how it works out, I could see Mariota getting an opportunity. I still think if you line those two guys up, I think Carr's a little bit better.
When we come back, we're going to switch gears back into hockey. Owen Newkirk, host of the Dallas Stars Radio Network, will join us. We'll get into tonight's matchup with the Preds and the Stars. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, make sure you're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game for your cue to call tomorrow in the 8 a.m., 12 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours for your chance to qualify for a free Nashville Predators jersey. Don't forget, today's exhibition pregame coverage begins at 2 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, your flagship home of the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad taking you through this Thursday morning. And it's time once again to talk some hockey. To do that, we bring in our friend Owen Newkirk, radio host for the Dallas Stars. Owen, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, Robbie, thanks for having me. I don't know about you. I'm guessing you're pretty excited about it because, you know, it's not too often we get 100-degree hockey out here, so we're ready to roll.
Hey, I'm all about some 100-degree hockey. I would watch hockey, I think, on the far side of the moon right now. I've just missed it so much.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's weird to have a season pause like we did. Obviously, it's very unconventional. And to do it in that time frame where, you know, you're just getting geared up for the stretch run and just have it get cut cold turkey kind of leaves this very unfulfilled feeling in everybody because they put so much into the season. I mean, Stars were at 69 games played. I think some had played up to 71. That's a lot of investment to not see any return.
Absolutely. So, Owen, we were kind of having a discussion earlier in the show about the Preds and the Stars and where exactly the Stars rank in terms of the pecking order of the rivals for the Preds. And some people think they're like second or third. Some people think they're the biggest rival for the Preds right now. Like, where do you think the Preds rank in terms of rivals for the Stars?
You know, it's funny because for a little while, I think the Dallas Stars were missing a hated rival. Not that they didn't have any, that they didn't have a king or the one that they really circled on the calendar, said, it's this one and we don't like each other. And I think it's starting to evolve as Nashville being maybe that. Now, you really make rivalries in the playoffs. So that helped last year that the two teams met in the first round. And then, of course, that I mean, the organizers, both with the Stars, the Preds, and the NHL for the Winter Classic, had to be salivating that that happened, because they were hoping that, okay, it's a division rivalry, but having that playoff history so recently and then going to the Cotton Bowl completely, you know, amped up that rivalry. And then, of course, obviously, the Corey Perry hit on Ryan Ellis kind of added some spice to the mix. But for me, I think that's one of them. For a while, the Stars had a pretty strong playoff rivalry with the Anaheim Ducks. And it's weird because they hadn't been in the same division for a while. I mean, there was a time where Dallas was in the Pacific Division, and so they played them a lot. But the old school Stars, when they were really good and won a cup in 99, had a real rivalry with the Edmonton Oilers, because they seemed to play each other in the playoffs every single year for a while. That isn't the same these days. That's 20 years ago. But right now, I mean, the two teams that really stand out to me are Nashville, because of what we were just talking about, and then St. Louis. And the reason why it's the Blues is because the last two times the Stars have felt really good about going on a playoff run, they've lost in a Game 7 to the Blues, and I think that really does something.
Yeah, well, and obviously Corey Perry holds a special place in the heart of every Nashville Predators fan. On the flip side of that, I mean, I think I would probably answer it a year ago, P.K. Subban, but which Predators player annoys Dallas fans the most?
Well, you know, that's interesting, because I don't know if there is, you know, Austin Watson plays a very physical, heavy game. You guys have seen him for years. I saw him actually play in Milwaukee when I was still in the AHL with the Texas Stars, which was like 7 years ago. It seems like a lifetime ago now. But to me, it's more the guys that seem to always play well for Nashville, which, of course, you know, will stick in the craw of a Stars fan. You know who lately has been really good? It's been Rocco Grimaldi. You know, the diminutive forward always seems to have a great game against Dallas. And then in games past, it was always Victor Arvidsson who had just torched the Stars. But I don't know if there is one guy who runs around and really throws, you know, a lot of dirty hits and everyone just wants to boo him. You're right. It was Subban. He's such a bubbly, I don't know if bubbly is the right word, but he has such a very infectious, wonderful personality that if he's not on your team, you want to go after him for some reason. I think we need more guys like that in the game just for the sake of selling the sport.
Owen Newkirk on the line with us, radio host for the Dallas Stars. And Owen, things weren't going all that great for the Stars before the pause. I think they had lost six games in a row. What kind of renewed energy do you sense around this group as they head into the bubble in Edmonton?
Well, it's funny because we've talked about that a lot in Dallas as they, you know, went through the pause. Is that a benefit to them? It didn't hurt, but frankly, I think the Stars were going to get out of that. You know, they went 0-4-2. They got shut out in back-to-back games by UC Soros. That didn't help. But it was not the kind of thing that there was a systemic problem. They were just having a lull, which every team goes through at times. So for me, well, it's nice that the Stars, especially being one of the older teams in the playoff format, is, you know, they're all rested. That could be a real benefit for guys like Jamie Benn, Joe Pavelski, Alexander Radulov, Corey Perry, all guys in their 30s who are now fresh and not sort of trying to play through the toll of an 82-game season. I actually think that they're kind of like everybody else going back to square one in the sense that we don't know who's going to be great. I think that, you know, there's been a lot of talking points around the league of the most beneficial teams from this pause have been the ones with the major injuries. A lot of people talk about Tarasenko coming back for St. Louis. St. Louis was playing pretty darn good hockey without him. Columbus was battered all year, so I think they're really high on that list. But for me, Colorado has to be the most beneficial or the biggest benefactor of this pause, because to get Landeskog and Rantanen back and really give them that, I mean, I think that's the best line in hockey when they're going right now, at least currently. And Colorado's going to be a really tough out.
So, obviously, the Predators, they start qualifying round Sunday against Arizona. This is their one chance to really see what they've got, if what they've been working on, you know, can translate against an opponent. We're trying to figure out the goalie situation. It's a very important game for the Predators. obviously the Stars are in a little bit different situation here. Do you think that they approach this more like a, I guess, quote-unquote, true exhibition game today?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because we've been talking about this probably for at least a week now. Once the team had a couple scrimmages and you realize that it was at the point where they needed to play somebody else, and now they're just sort of playing out the string until this gets here today. Because Rick Bonus, the Stars head coach, pointed out that while the Stars have a round robin to work out kinks, he said, Nashville has one game, as you guys know, and then you play your series. So you will come out with intensity knowing that you don't have the luxury of any extra time. So he said he doesn't think it's going to feel like a playoff game, but he said it's also not going to feel like a September exhibition game, probably somewhere in the middle. For the Stars, the big thing is, even in scrimmages where the intensity has been high, you don't want to go out and, you know, take somebody's head off. There's no thunderous hits. And even when they do their special teams work, guys see ankles and legs in shooting lanes. They're not cranking that 100-mile-an-hour slap shot one-timer because they don't want to kill each other. And that's not going to be a concern today. I think guys are going to go after it. And so the coaching staff for the Stars have been talking about the last 3 or 4 days in the bubble that the big focus for today for them is to maintain a high level of intensity. And the fact that they're playing the Preds might mean that that'll be a little easier to manufacture.
Oh, and last thing for you here, we all know how good of a player Joe Pavelski is and has been throughout his career. How would you describe the impact he's had with the Stars, and what more do you think Pavelski can give once this tournament begins?
Well, that's kind of twofold, and the reason why is that he did not have the best introduction to Dallas in the sense that from his own goal-scoring output production standpoint. I think everybody was hoping for and probably thought that he was going to come in and, you know, he scored 38 goals last year. So, okay, well, if he scores 25 to 30, that's fine, you know, understandable. But it took a little longer he'd been in San Jose for 13 seasons in a row. It's hard to make a transition when you've been accustomed to certain players. And obviously his connection with Brent Burns as far as, you know, the types of shots from the point on the power play and how he tips pucks and chases rebounds, that has taken a little bit longer. We've seen Pavelski and John Klingberg working quite a bit before and now since after the pause to try to sync up a little bit more and see what works for both of them. But one thing that Pavelski has brought the entire time, in spite of not having what he would consider a career year, is his leadership in the room. Some of the stuff he does on the ice has just been remarkable. And as I was saying earlier with the health and maybe the freshness, I think a guy like Pavelski, or I know you guys don't want to hear me say Corey Perry's name too many times, but I think those guys with their just trove of experience in the playoffs could be set up to be major X factors for the Stars. And, you know, obviously Dallas is built around their defense and goaltending, and that's not going to change. But that timely goal, whether it's special teams or otherwise, from a guy like Pavelski could be just massive for this team's success rate.
Owen Newkirk, radio host for the Dallas Stars, has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Owen, thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate it and looking forward to some live-action hockey today.
Thanks, guys. It's a great way to spend the afternoon, isn't it?
That's right. Sure is. Now, been too long since we've been able to say that about spending an afternoon looking at hockey. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion between the Preds and the Stars and the exhibition game facing off later today. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Predators coach John Hines talking about the matchup later today between the Predators and the Dallas Stars. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Marquise Muntzen taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, I'm looking forward to this one, man. It's been so long since I've sat down and watched an actual Predators hockey game. I don't care if it's exhibition, playoffs, regular season, whatever. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it was fun to watch those guys get at it in Bridgestone for a couple weeks. And now you take it up another notch. Kind of like something that's, I guess it probably is comparable to a regular season game, like the last regular season game before the playoffs start.
When you've already clinched, yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about like not making the playoffs.
Clinched. Yeah. You know who you're playing, but you know you want to be sharp, and also you're playing someone you don't like very much. But just to see, you know, these guys work together, see the power play, see those lines and how they're working together, and certainly number one to me is see who's playing in goal when and how much to get a little clue.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things I'm looking forward to seeing today between the Predators and the Stars. Number one, like you said, the goaltending situation. How does John Hines handle that? Does UC Saros and Pekka split time? One of them play two periods? Does one of them play the whole game? I mean, if you see one of them play the whole game, I think that may give you a pretty good idea of who's going to be in goal in game one against Arizona. Look, I'm not sure that it's overly important to win this game, but I do want to see, specifically with the top six, what those lines look like. Because we all know, if you've watched the Predators play against the Stars in the last couple of seasons, they've struggled at generating some quality looks, and they've struggled at getting to the middle of the ice. There's been a lot of difficulty that they've had, you know, peppering that Dallas net with quality chances. I'm interested to see, specifically with Johansson's line and Duchesne's line, how often can they get to some of those areas where they've got some pretty good looks with the puck. They don't have to score on all of them, obviously, but I'm just interested to see what this offensive attack looks like. You know, the goaltending situation, the intensity level, all these things I think are going to be really important and shed at least some light on the progress they've made through training camp so far.
I mean, it is a ghost of playoff past type of thing here for these guys. Last time they were in the postseason, all these top forwards couldn't do anything against the Stars. It's funny that Owen Newkirk, in going through annoyances for the Stars, you know, he went with Rocco Grimaldi, like, yeah, the only guy who played well in the forward group for the Predators in that series last year.
And the other
the
guy,
best forward for the team.
And the other guy, he said, was Victor Arvidsson. So I'm like, all right, the two smallest guys on the Predators.
But they are annoying.
But they are annoying, yeah.
When little guys like that do stuff and you're a hockey fan and they're against your team, you like them less.
Yeah, no question about it. And this is like a series, not a series, but a game where you want to see a little bit of that bite from Johansson and Forsberg, Duchesne, those guys, to let you know that, number one, they're engaged in what they're doing out there. But number two, I mean, this is an opportunity for those guys to have a fresh start. And I think today is not going to tell you everything you need to know about that. But certainly, if they go out and play well, I think if you're a Predators fan, you feel a lot better heading into this series against Arizona than you otherwise would have based on what happened in the regular season. Like, if it's not going to be the end of the world if nothing happens today with those two top lines. But if you go out today and Johansson's line doesn't really do anything, Duchesne's line just kind of there, they're just not really creating, I think a lot of Predators fans heading into game one against Arizona can be a little nervous about that if they don't see something today.
Yeah, and so the power play, what was 5 for the last 15? Is that
five
right?
5 for 15, yeah.
Yeah, 5 for the last 15 and 0 for 19 against this team. I'm sorry to keep bringing up this Stars series from a year ago, but there are things from that you want to see be very different in this little practice before the playoffs. And the Stars definitely give you a good – it's basically the same team – give you a good look in some of those ways.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And you look around the league at some of these exhibition games so far, there's been a kind of a nice blend of teams doing what they need to do to get ready for these games coming up. Some teams have chosen to leave their starting goaltenders in the whole time. Some teams have chosen to split it right down the middle. It's just been interesting to see the way the different teams handle that. And don't forget, I mean, the Coyotes, they play tonight too. They're at 9 o'clock tonight against the Vegas Golden Knights. So if you're a Predators fan that's really looking forward to that series on Sunday and you want to check out the competition, Coyotes tonight at 9 o'clock as well. So I'll probably watch as much of that as I can.
Say,
I'm
going to
go
like
sleep at some
in.
Point. But I'll probably watch that as much of that as I can. And we were talking earlier in the show about the expectation level for Matt Duchesne. Like, what do we think needs to be the bar for him heading into this postseason? Because, look, he's a guy, you know, it's his first year here, started off really well, and then just kind of fell off. And it wasn't like he was alone. A lot of guys fell off throughout the course of the regular season. But not only for this playoff run, but for the next several years here, Duchesne is going to have to be an important part of what the Predators are able to do,
because they've locked him in long term. You're getting paid $8 million a year. You're a part of this core. You're a part of the leadership group of this team now. I'm holding Duchesne to a pretty high standard in these playoffs. I think the production needs to be there. And if nothing else, just making that second line dangerous has got to be there if this Predators team is going to put together any sort of run.
This makes me think of the question, you know, which players would we consider right now skaters? Would we consider absolutely untouchable? You know, we've talked about if this happens in the postseason, what might it mean in the offseason? We've talked about Ryan Johansson. You know, Kyle Turris, you could just buy Kyle Turris out. That's a possibility. I mean, there's different things that could happen. Three people that I would say there's just no way, you know, they're going to be on the team next year would be Roman Josi,
Ryan Ellis.
Yeah, I mean, but honestly, that's not one of the three I'm thinking. I'm thinking Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, and Matt Duchesne. I would start with those three. I mean, I'm sure Ryan Ellis, because there's no way you're moving Ryan Ellis.
Right.
You can't figure it out how to do it. But, like, I don't even think there'd be a thought with those three. I mean, you just went and got
Duchesne. You're not pulling the plug on Duchesne yet.
Of course not.
He's been your white whale. You've been trying to get him for 3 years. He's signed 7 years. I mean, he's going to be here.
Yeah. Though there may be a lot of changes around all that, you know, he's a guy who is going to be here for the long haul. And certainly in this first postseason, you want to see him producing. I mean, if he could play anything close to what he did for Columbus in the last playoff, that would be big for this team. But you want to see him producing, and you want to see his line producing. I mean, obviously, centerman's a big part of that. That line is so important for the Coyote series and beyond, if there is a beyond.
Talking Preds and Stars, and got a text in on the text line from Nate and says, I would like to see the team get down at least one goal to see what happens. A player in a previous game said they have to manufacture their own energy since there are no fans, and I'd like to see if the Preds can do that. I'm not sure that they can. That's an interesting point. Like, you're not at home. There are no fans in the building. What happens in an environment like this when you hit some level of adversity? And do the Predators have enough of that mental fortitude that John Hines preached about so much when he first got here to stick with it and overcome that? That's interesting. It's a good point by Nate.
Yeah, and pushback for this team has been one of the things. You could almost, with a lot of this season, it's like some sort of emotional let down if things go poorly, which wasn't like recent Predators teams.
Yeah.
And that's one of the, I think, most frustrating things about this team is how, I mean, in the past, they've had a lot of comebacks, a lot of late key clutch goals to force overtime or to win games. And this team has at times, I don't want to say packed it in or quit or anything like that, but has not handled that stuff as well as you would want them to. And certainly in the postseason, you are going to have to battle back at times and keep going. Yeah, the energy thing's interesting. I mean, everyone's in the same boat there. But, you know, maybe like a team like the Blackhawks, knowing that they can hear
that's awful
Chelsea
song.
Dagger, like that
it's
is
just
their,
the source of inspiration
yeah,
for
that,
them.
That's, yeah, maybe that
so,
gives
like,
them
is,
an edge.
Is Tim McGraw going to be the Predators' source of inspiration once they're down a goal? Like,
maybe.
Let's play that song, baby.
And there's some other fan stuff that the teams have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But for the most part, it is. You're out there, it's like you're, you know, practicing at times.
Yeah.
Against a, you know, against an actual opponent.
When we come back, the NBA season officially resumes tonight. We're going to get into that a little bit with Jeff Zilgit from USA Today and talk about what's going on with the NBA down there in Orlando. But first, I've got a great opportunity for you. Get two tickets for two parks for the price of one. That's two tickets for the price of one for Beach Bend and Splash Lagoon Water Park. They're on sale now. Go to thegamenashville.com and click on the Beach Bend Buy One, Get One free ad to purchase your tickets now for only $37.99. We'll be right back on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No